RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Yusuf Kalla to visit Bosnia-Herzegovina. Indonesian National City ISIS trial to resume in May. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla scheduled to visit Bosnia-Herzegovina from May 21st to 22nd to deliver a keynote address at the Sarajevo Business Forum. Assistant to Bosnia-Herzegovina Foreign Minister of Bilateral and Economic Diplomacy Affairs, Amer Kavetanovic, said at the President's office in Jakarta on Wednesday that he uses this opportunity to explain briefly. Vice President Yusuf Kalla plans to pay an official visit to Bosnia-Herzegovina and to attend the annual regional business meeting 2017. Kavetanovic said that he had invited Vice President Yusuf Kalla as one of the primary guests to the forum as Indonesia has enjoyed stable economic growth in Asia over the last few years. The business forum is expected to bring together some 2,000 business people from Balkan countries including Bosnia-Herzegovina, Albania, Croatia, Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, and Slovenia, as well as European countries. While in Bosnia-Herzegovina, Vice President Yusuf Kalla is scheduled to expect to meet his official counterparts. Vice President Yusuf Kalla inaugurated Indonesian Medical Education and Research Institute, IMERI, at Medical Faculty at Indonesian University in Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian Medical Education and Research Institute's research and education cluster established to challenge in the field of health and medicine in the future. In his inauguration speech, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Indonesia is a great nation. With a population more than 250 million people, Indonesia will require more excellent doctors. This requires changes through education and research. Thus, Indonesia highly appreciate the establishment of Indonesian Medical Education and Research Institute funded by Islamic Development, IDB. That's why the government has developed IMERI to be a place where experts in Indonesia develop their knowledge for the public, and of course it is also because research is our need. It definitely takes a lot of cooperation among research institutions in the world because they also want to cooperate with us to treat diseases in this country.
Karena mereka tentu juga ingin kerjasama dengan kita untuk penyakit-penyakit yang ada di negeri ini.
Vice President Yusuf Kalla further explained that IMERI is expected to coordinate with other industries. He views that the industries must respect, accommodate, and disseminate the research result to the public. Indonesian Medical Education and Research Institute is equipped with advanced technology in genetic research and biomolecule that is very beneficial to education and community service. In the next 10 years, IMERI is projected to be the center of research and innovation in health and medicine in Indonesia. The court session for the Kim Jong-un and murder case involving Indonesian national Siti Aisyah and Vietnamese citizen Duan Thi Huan will resume on May 30th. The tribal reason of May 30 to 17 in the Sepang Selangor Court, Judge Harriet San Muhammad Yassin stated before the closing of the court session in Session Sepang Court, Selangor, Malaysia on Thursday. The judges decided to adjourn the case to be pursued at the High Court and to continue the court session as the prosecution files were not yet completed. The court session took place at around 9:15 a.m. local time and ended at 9:50 a.m. local time. Aisyah Huan, along with four others who are still free, had been charged on February 13, 2017 with the murder of half brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The murder took place at around 9 a.m. local time at the departure terminal of Kuala Lumpur International Airport 2, Sepang Region, Selangor Darul Ehsan. Aisyah was charged under Section 302 and Section 34 of the Penal Code or premeditated murder with the penalty of death. The charges and penalty were also lethal at 20-year-old Huan. The Iranian government is encouraging Indonesia to establish partnership that is specifically aimed at exploring the use of nanotechnology in several sectors. Secretary General of the Iranian Nanotechnology Initiative Council, Professor Sarkar, said on Wednesday that his office aims to spread awareness on nanotechnology in the international community as it has been dubbed as emerging technology that can positively affect all aspects of human life. He stated that nanotechnology promotes the creation of wealth and improves the people's quality of life. He added that, take for example, the nanotechnology has allowed the creation of innovative anti-cancer drug that directly targets the tumor without spreading any unnecessary toxin in the rest of the body. He is confident that there are several sectors in which both Indonesia and Iran can cooperate to build and raise awareness on nanotechnology in Indonesian community. He highlighted the importance of designing a program that is specifically aimed at re-educating the public. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Gorontalo provincial government is aiming to attract 30,000 tourists this year. The figure is four times higher compared to the foreign tourist visit in 2016 at around 7,000. Gorontalo Tourism Department Acting Director Resma Kabakoran said that the Tourism Ministry stimulus programs are expected to help increase the number of tourist visits to the province. There is currently no direct international flight into Gorontalo, even though Jalaluddin Airport is capable of accommodating Boeing 737-900 aircraft. The Tourism Ministry has earlier launched stimulus programs to help regions develop their tourism potential. Transportation is one of the main issues hampering the tourism sector development in some regions. Resma added that Gorontalo is aiming to attract more Chinese tourists. She also pointed out that the number of Chinese tourist arrivals has improved following the opening of Manado Gorontalo route that takes just 30 minutes. Political observers has slammed the idea of implementing Islamic law or Sharia in the capital city Jakarta, which has been promoted by gubernatorial candidate Anies Baswedan and his running mate Sandiaga Uno. Jerry Sumanpau of NGO's Watchdog and the Indonesian Voters Committee TAPI said the use of a sensitive issue is not going to help the pair in the Jakarta's gubernatorial election. He admitted that there are voters in favor of Sharia, but not many. The majority of Jakarta residents should not accept Islamic law and may instead turn against Anies and Sandiaga. Jakarta, according to Jerry, is very pluralistic and has residents of diverse origin and religious backgrounds. This would change if Sharia were imposed. The implementation of Islamic law would also contravene the Pancasila state ideology and the 1945 constitution. Another researcher, Arif Susanto of the State Affairs and Islamic Studies Center, PSIK, said that the idea of having Sharia in Jakarta rests on inconsistent logic, by which residents of religious diversity would be forced to follow the teachings of one religion. Anies and Sandiaga have promised the implementation of Islamic law if they win the election. The last item, the peace celebration of the 909th Tidore anniversary, ended successfully. Many people attended the celebration at Kadato Kifil, the Sultanate of Tidore, Tidore Islands, on April 12. The celebration was part of a series of events of Tidore Festival 2017. The festival began since March 29 until April 12, 2017. The Sultan of Tidore, Hussein Shah, attended the event, accompanied by representative of Minister of Tourism, Wawan Gunawan. In his remark during the event, Sultan Hussein Shah asked people to be aware of their tourism potential for the development of Indonesian tourism. Official of the Tourism Department, Yakub Hussein, said that there are some potential imposter approaching to Tidore. According to Yaakob Hussein, Tidore has many tourism spots such as underwater spot and historical building. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Economy to Boost the Nation. In applying economy system that boosts the nation, Indonesia should find logical comparisons with Asian nations such as Japan and China, which have always been surging in their economy. Indonesian economic system should not be oriented to the United States or other Western countries. It seems less appropriate when the focus is only on the structure for ownership related to foreign investment. The reason is that many important sectors are capital intensive. In fact, the funds out are very limited. On one hand, Indonesia would not mind the foreign ownership in the hands of their origin as far as the foreign investor are ready to invest substantial capital to boost the sector. On the other hand, it is feared that if many foreign parties take part in many strategic and important sectors, although the economy may get advanced, they may dominate Indonesian economy. Indonesian nation is no longer independent economically, and this cannot be accepted. Therefore, this issue got to be faced with the concept of the free market. The government must be present to play a major and active role. Referring to Japan, which is now a socialist country, Japan effectively manages
its economy under the government control. Even this sometimes makes the United States upset. To regulate foreign investment, the government of Indonesia must decide to determine which sectors can be owned or not by foreign investors. In regard to this, there should be arrangements for the state-owned enterprises and private companies to secure the ownership. Since the funding is difficult to be obtained, the government is necessary to determine key and absolute priorities to be owned. In another important sector, which is not high priority, the government can carry out a joint venture which allows foreign participation. Based on the priority scale, the foreign participation is possibly dominant if the priority scale is low. However, it should be carefully supervised to ensure that the foreign role is really helpful for the people of Indonesia. In addition, the production of the company with foreign capital must be exported and should not be marketed in the country. Then the government builds other companies operating in the same field with the technology used in the joint venture, so the domestic market is fully controlled by the Indonesian nation. Such practices are also conducted by China to be able to utilize foreign capital and technology for the benefit of the country and increase exports. Japan used to be urged by the U.S. to open its rice market so that the U.S. rice could be marketed in Japan more cheaply. However, the Japanese government has always rejected the U.S. pressure because of being unwilling to sacrifice its farmers as an integral element of Japanese people. The U.S. insistence that Japan change its internal trade by freely opening the market is never carried out. For Indonesia, the role of the government is hopefully based on a strong national spirit to be able to make Indonesia nation be advanced and prosperous. Listener, that's commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with the birth of Garry Kasparov on April 13, 1963. Garry Kasparov was one of the most aggressive chess players of Russia. Even his name is associated with chess because of his unmatched talent and contribution for several chess theories. Kasparov, who was born in Baku, Azerbaijan on April 13, 1963, became the world junior champion in 1980. Even since December 1980 to February 1991, he was undefeated in single games. Kasparov, the Russian grandmaster, became the global best chess athlete in the 1985 to 2013 period. We move on to the beginning of civil war in Lebanon on April 13, 1975. On April 13, 1975, the civil war in Lebanon broke out due to the attacks by Palestinian Christian extremists against a bus which was carrying Palestinians and killed 30 among them. Because of this attack, the Lebanese Muslims and nationalists rose against the Palestinians. Later, the Palestinians retaliated against the Palestinian refugee camp in Lebanon. The civil war is provoked by Zionist regime with goal to distract the Lebanese and Palestinian Muslims from the regime. The civil war was ended in 1999 with a Taif Treaty signed by the conflicted parties. We end the segment of Today in History with the Soviet admitted the Katyn massacre. On April 13, 1990, the Soviet Union government officially admitted committing massacre in Katyn Forest, Poland, during the World War II. In 1939, Poland was invaded by the Nazi from the west and Soviet from the east. Early 1940, around 5,000 police soldiers were pushed by the Soviets to the Katyn Forest, where they were killed and buried. At that time, the Soviet leaders denied their act and pointed the Nazi to be accused. During Gorbachev's reign, he tried to strengthen the relationship with the West, and one of the efforts was by opening the history of Soviet Union during World War II. Therefore, the Soviet Union officially confessed the Katyn massacre. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is to realize 2025 ASEAN Economic Community. ASEAN plans to integrate strategic finance. Central bank governors and finance ministers of ASEAN countries agreed to promote regional financial integration in the realization of ASEAN Economic Community AEC by 2025. Therefore, there will be implementation of strategy action in pushing ASEAN financial integration. Governor Bank Indonesia BI Agus Martowardoyo in the annual meeting of Central Bank Governors and Finance Minister of ASEAN explained in Cebu, the Philippines on last Friday that the governors of Central Bank and Finance Minister of ASEAN approved a number of selective performance measures or key performance indicators as an evaluation tool of regional financial integration agenda. The key performance indicators are set out in the Strategy Action Plan of the 2025 Financial Integration. He said that with the key performance indicators, the performance measurement of the financial integration is hopefully based on not only the achievement of outputs but also the initiative. He added that the performance measurement of ASEAN financial integration may cover how beneficial and strong of ASEAN economies are towards the achievement of ASEAN Vision 2025 in the financial sector. The annual summit of the Central Bank Governors and the Finance Minister of ASEAN was attended by international institutions such as the ASEAN Development Bank (ADB), the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund (IMF), and the ASEAN Plus 3 Macroeconomic Research Office (AMRO) as a partner of ASEAN. The presence of this institution is aimed at exchanging various views on the current condition of uncertain global economy. The uncertainty includes the tendency towards protectionism, geopolitical risk, and changes in monetary policy, especially in developed countries. Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that to face such conditions, the governors and the finance minister of ASEAN keeps being committed to establishing coordination and boosting trade and investment more closely among ASEAN countries. The coordination and the commitment are expected to support the achievement of financial integration that is stable and sustainable. Thus, the benefits of integration are felt equally by all people of ASEAN. That's Focus, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, we'll introduce you about Umalenge local wisdom. Stay tuned. Maria Village is located about 32 kilometers to the east of Rabah Bima, the capital of Bima Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. The village is inhabited by 850 families and around 75% of them work as farmers. They cultivate 400 hectares of rain-fed field, including the field on the hills. This condition makes people can harvest once a year only. Interestingly, they never run out of food through the year because they have rice barn, or usually called uma. There are two types of uma, namely Lenge uma and Jompa uma. Through this uma, the local people are taught about saving so they don't have to experience food crisis. Listener, Uma Jompa is a wooden house with tiled roof. People in Maria Village use it to store the grain which they harvested. 2 to 3 times in a month, the villagers will come to Uma Jompa and take the grain to be grinded. Besides Uma Jompa, there is also Umalenge. Umalenge has the same function with Uma Jompa as storage of the harvest products such as maize, barley, as well as grains and nuts. One of the differences is in the house structure. Like Uma Jompa, Umalenge also has 5 to 7 meters high and supported by 4 pillars, but Umalenge has roof which is made of thatch and shaped like a cone. Meanwhile, Uma Jompa has wooden walls and roof. Umalenge has capacity of about 300 sacks of rice, while Uma Jompa can accommodate 100 sacks of rice only. Umalonga and Uma Jompa are located 5 meters from the residence village. The Maria village has 93 of Uma Jompa and 13 of Umalenge, which in total are 106 of Uma. Listener, for the utilization, Umalenge and Uma Jompa are used by unwritten rules and obeyed together by the villagers. For example, after harvesting, the Maria villagers cannot sell or have to spend their rice in Uma. Even if they want to sort, they must wait until the next harvest. It is because Uma has limited capacity. Another rule stated, the villagers may only take the grains to be grinded at most 2 to 3 times in a month. Those will get sanctioned if they break the rules. The rules are applied for all, including the farmer's family who do not have the uma. The local wisdom in Maria Village is preserved by the local people along with the government, such as through the performance of Umalenge Festival 2017 that will be held in July. More than 1,000 tourists from domestic and foreigners such as the US, Australia and Germany are confirmed to attend the festival. Interestingly, in the festival, they will be showed Ampavari tradition for 1 or 2 days at Umalenge Housing Complex. In this tradition, they pray and simultaneously raising the rice to Uma. Then the people hold a joint meal. In addition to Ampavari tradition, Maria villagers usually hold many other art performances, such as Pamanca dance, which is known as kicking heads dance. Buja Kadanda is a dance that depicting two soldiers are in battle. The rice planting dance and Burawongi Monca dance or welcoming dance. Well, listeners, that was today's segment of Indonesian Wonder for Today, featuring local wisdom of Umalenge. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Thanks for joining us, and goodbye.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreoverly, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. Before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing, magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. Wonderful, oh wonderful,
Indonesia.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about the village of family planning. Stay tuned. Listener, the number of Indonesian population increases every year. This becomes a concern for the government of Indonesia, because if it cannot be controlled, it can raise the poverty rate, hunger, slum area, and crime. During the New Order era, Indonesian government made a program called Keluarga Berencana, or in English, Family Planning, with its tagline, having two kids is enough. The program was actually really effective to suppress the number of population in Indonesia. But at the Reformation era, the program is actually weak and the number of population begin to increase again in Indonesia, especially in Banjar Regency, West Java. To control the population growth in Banjar, the regional government through Population Control Office and Family Planning, or DPPKB, makes Family Planning Village. When Family Planning Village makes an example where the proportion of retired couple and the current user family planning is less than 65%. It is aimed to run the family planning program and to give quick service and response to the people. Other advantages of the program are that the family who has under 5-year-old baby can be observed well, because parents will be trained to have a good way to raise their children. This program also provides information about drugs use and pre-marriage sex. There are 25 family planning villages in Banjar, West Java. These villages are established to manage the family planning members that begin to develop in every aspect of the people's life. The economic activities increase and the program provides loan for the farmers in the form of dried unhauled rice. The loans are given to the pre-prosperous family during the planting season. If there are 10 pre-prosperous families, each of them is given 50 kg for 6 months. Then, they have to give it back about 55 kg based on the set discussion. The additional return will provide the operational fund of the program. Well, listener, that was our today's edition of Miscellany about the family planning village. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you again on the next Miscellany.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Hernita, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern one. In today's edition, of Music Corner will present to you the Indonesian jazz singer who popularly known in the 90s. She has a husky jazz character voice. Yes, listener, she is Ika Mawarni. To initiate today's Music Corner, let's listen to the first song entitled Kasmaran by Ika Mawarni. Happy listening.
Bagaimanakah cara
Listener, the song of Iga Mawarni, mostly jazz nuance and beat bossa nova. She chose the beat bossa nova genre aims to be easily enjoyed by the people in general. It's no wonder if the songs of Iga Mawarni on her first album was quickly accepted by the music lovers. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Pasrah by Iga Mawarni. Enjoy the song. Iga Mawarni is a convert who previously a Catholic follower. Besides as a singer, Iga Mawarni also studied acting and briefly played in some electronic cinemas aired by private television in Indonesia. Now, Iga Mawarni more active in major activities related to the music and entertainment. While for her musical activities, depending on her spare time or the song that offered to her in accordance with the vocal character. But listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Kasih by Iga Mawarni. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program.
or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.